The IAB presents the Simplify and Inspire podcast.
How do we make it simple?
Try to stop a lot of the buzzwords.
A chance to change the way a whole industry works.
For more information, visit iabaustralia.com.au.
Hello and welcome to the IAB Simplify and Inspire podcast. I'm joined today by Ben Green from Yahoo 7. Ben, welcome.
Thank you.
As we were warming up for the podcast, you told me your job title. I'm going to ask you to tell me once again, but more importantly, explain what it means.
Well, my job title, I'm the Director of Platforms and Exchanges, which is otherwise known around the building as being an aggregator of buzzwords, but I'm responsible for programmatic, native, and data-driven advertising products and solutions for advertisers, agencies, and our publisher partners.
Brilliant. So before we dive into some of that terminology and start to demystify it, let's start by getting some background into you. Where are you from? And give us a bit of a highlight of your journey, of some of the things you did before you got to Yahoo 7 and, the most interesting thing you've learned about digital on the way.
So I entered the industry doing an internship in the marketing department at Telstra, right, doing advertising policy approvals and writing copy for catalogs. I originally wanted to be a copywriter. And
what was in the catalogs? What were the products?
Phones, non-smartphones, cool innovations like mobile phones with color screens were great to write about back in the day. We had an online shop at the time, and the team behind that was one person.
Wow. What year are we talking?
2002.
Wow.
And our digital ad expenditure at the time was zero. It was maybe a bunch of banner ads we got for free from the mastheads with a full page color spread.
Fantastic. The world has changed a little since then.
A little, yeah. I then actually went to work for the ad agency that Telstra worked with in a digital direct marketing department. So working on clients' CRM programs, EDMs and email marketing programs as a producer. That is kind of where I got, I guess, what piqued my interest in data-driven advertising and marketing. I mean, the same sort of smarts weren't applied to the advertising world in the sense of, display and video. It was email marketing was the hot thing at the time. And ADMA was very much the hot industry body for digital at the time. And, I did a bunch of ADMA courses after uni, and that really got my interest in data and analytics. And how I kind of, I guess, laid the foundations for where and what I do now.
Fantastic. And it's good that you've moved on there to the IAB along with Yahoo 7. And so tell me more about your role here. What's your focus? What does success look like? What's your day-to-day look like?
So I manage teams. I manage sales teams that specialize in performance and programmatic media. We have a specialist ad operations team that fulfill programmatic deals where we where we sell inventory to clients, and also where clients use our technology to facilitate their programmatic buying. We also manage the data product and how that's applied to insights we provide to advertisers, before we run a campaign, as well as the targeting and, post-campaign analysis. We also work with a number of other publishers who use our platforms to monetize their inventory. And I think here at Yahoo 7, it's quite interesting because we have a number of different perspectives on the space. There's Yahoo 7, the publisher who produces content and has a requirement to monetize that content with display and video and native ad formats. But we also have our own proprietary monetization tools in the Brightroll Ad Exchange. So where our inventory flows through to and where we have trading partners, whether it's an agency trading desk or a brand-based trading desks who are bidding on our owned and operated inventory.
Explain that. What is Brightroll? How does it work? Can you give us an example of a campaign so that we can, for the listeners, bring what it is and what it does to life?
So BrightRoll, there are two core platforms within BrightRoll, which was a business that Yahoo acquired in 2014. There's the BrightRoll Ad Exchange, which is a tool for publishers to put in their display inventory or their video inventory. And, you know, next quarter there will be native inventory into the exchange. The goal would be to fill that inventory with monetized supply and, you know, third-party DSPs. Demand-side platforms can bid on that inventory to reach their audiences and fulfill their campaign requirements. Then the other platform is the BrightRoll DSP, or BrightRoll demand-side platform, and that is a buying platform. So that's a platform rather than publishers, which the exchange is for. The BrightRoll DSP is for advertisers or agencies who are buying media across any ad exchange or publisher to reach targeted audiences, whether they're using Yahoo's audience data to do that targeting, their own data, or any of the third-party data providers.
So how does BrightRoll, for example, make life easier for a publisher or for an advertiser?
So our primary focus within BrightRoll in this market is on the demand side platform. So it really is all about the either the advertiser or the agency with the BrightRoll DSP. And it's very much about automation. So being able to predetermine target audiences, campaign goals, and leverage all of the third-party tools, whether it's for brand safety, audience verification, or targeting to reach a specific audience in brand-safe environments that are inhabited by humans, not bots. Although I do think with the rise of artificial intelligence that bots are a very much overlooked demographic.
No. And clearly they're going to be a growing one for us all. I'm thinking about some of the language you use, and we talked about demystifying and simplifying. So let me ask you, what does programmatic mean to you?
High salaries and loads of job opportunities. Well, I guess the kind of, broadly speaking, the MLC definition is either data-driven or automated decisioning on targeting and optimization. And for us at Yahoo 7, I guess our perspective is it really is about automation rather than necessarily, you know, I guess what a lot of the many, many players are talking about. In fact, Marissa Mayer, our CEO, is famously quoted for saying that the opposite of programmatic is not premium, it's manual. And that's the view that we take. So it is facilitating what used to be a manual process, using technology and data to automate that process. And, you know, over the last couple of years, admittedly, it's kind of taken until the last couple of years until we've finally seen the efficiencies of programmatic from a publisher's perspective. So I'm not talking about our buying platforms, but in terms of the way that we sell our own inventory to our trading partners.
And why has it taken a couple of years? Is it to do with volume or capability or technology? What have been the drivers that have been at play?
I actually think it's a bit of all of that. So I joined nearly 3 years ago, and you know, we were probably a team of, you know, six at the time, and that grew very quickly because, you know, we saw where the market was moving, and we saw high growth rates but off very low revenue base. And so we hired a whole bunch of people, but, you know, we were launching new proprietary platforms. There were other new platforms entering the marketplace, and, you know, competitive platforms don't always integrate and connect with each other seamlessly. You know, so we ended up having quite a big team, but it had still represented a minority of our revenue.
And where had you seen the growth coming from? Was it from particular industries or verticals?
Most recently, I would say the biggest growth we've seen has been from FMCG, you know, traditional brand marketers, and that's primarily across video as an extension of their, you know, their TV or broader screen strategy. You know, I think the early adopters were those that have always been very direct response or performance focused, like travel, finance, insurance. But yeah, most recently, I would say, you know, media, entertainment, and education have been some of the biggest growth categories that we've seen.
And how do you deal with questions or challenges around, this is just where the remnant inventory lives, or my CPMs will decline, not go the other way? What's the reality that you're seeing, and what is the real story here?
So I actually think that it's a slightly different story between display and video. So in video, about half of what we trade to our partners is actually traded on an automated guaranteed basis. So what that means is a reserved buy, so a fixed volume of video ad impressions for a fixed campaign period at an upfront pre-negotiated, fixed CPM price. So really, the same kind of deal terms that we were trading video 8 years ago before the first ad exchange entered the market.
So the costs are set up front, but the process is automated.
But the process is automated, and it's on those sorts of trades that, we really now see the efficiency, because it has taken away a lot of the head hours associated with, IOs and signing and creative trafficking. It's also, from a publisher perspective, removed liability around, trafficking the wrong creative, which comes up in any organization where it's high volume. And for us, the majority of the video that we sell is on that basis. So very much, premium. We've maintained our yields. In fact, when we price that, it's priced at, the same rate that advertiser would be prepared to pay, on an manual insertion order basis. And I think that's very much to do with the scarcity of video supply in market, and therefore the requirement to reserve inventory up front. But on the flip side, there's display inventory, there's never really been a scarcity, and the programmatic channels kind of picked up where the ad networks left on, which were the remnant solution for most of the publishers in the country. And so, while we have some activity on that automated guaranteed basis in the display space, we'd be talking single digits.
Right.
And the majority of that display supply is on a non-guaranteed basis and, to a larger extent.
So the answer to the question is, it depends on where you look and where you play. Clearly, there's value in spaces like video, and perhaps not as much value in spaces like display.
That's right. I agree.
Fantastic.
With that.
And I know video is a key part of your business. It's a space that certainly all the IAB and PwC numbers that we've put out, we've seen significant growth. And I always hear, when I'm talking to the industry, of, well, if only I could make more video or have more video inventory. A couple of questions there. Is that what you're seeing? And if it is, how do you think 2017 will kind of pan out for video in the programmatic space?
So I think the overall video pie, and if you read the PwC reports, I think it was forecasting 20-something% year on year. Does that sound about right?
That sounds right.
And, we're certainly seeing in excess of that, and being associated with a broadcaster, it's a key part of our business, and our product teams have been redesigning our sites to be very much video first from an editorial perspective. In terms of, and while the overall market pie might grow 20x% this year, I think the proportion of video that's traded through programmatic channels is going to increase significantly. And we're seeing that too. I think one of the biggest challenges is that, we've seen enormous growth in the number of streams, but a lot of that growth actually come from mobile apps and, surprisingly through connected TVs and IPTV. And that comes with it, its own challenges around, technology, and particularly ad tech being ready to service those sorts of platforms.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I know that within the IAB Video Council, connected TVs are a very hot topic, and they're working on some white papers in that space. And clearly, both Apple and Android and others are building out their TV OSs, and consumers were using that more and more. What's getting in the way of our ability to commercialize that growing audience?
So it's the integration of the verification tools. So if we look at year on year, you know, the number of campaigns that have third-party verification for brands that want to measure viewability, or brands that simply want a third party to measure how many females 25 to 44 did they reach. And those technologies, to a large extent, have limited effectiveness on mobile apps, mobile and tablet apps, and zero effectiveness on connected TV devices. They simply don't work. And the challenge is, you know, if you can't measure it, don't do it. But, you know, certainly here at Yahoo 7, with the current growth rates in our audience and streams on IPTV, it could very much be the number one device in the next 2 years.
So we need to find ways of getting it to work.
We need to find ways to get the verification tools to work, or to have some kind of alternative measurement that's, you know, in line with how those tools work on other devices.
Interesting. Definitely one worth taking to the measurement team within the IAB, because I think they may have some views and thoughts on that. Let's wrap up with a final question. 2017, looking ahead this year, what do you think's the biggest opportunity in the video and TV programmatic space?
A cross-device opportunity, and that's been a buzzword for the last couple of years. But really, you know, what we hear from TV buyers is, you know, the desire to get that single audience view from broadcast TV down to, you know, catch up TV on a mobile app or a connected TV. And, you know, data, audience data is the key to that. So being able to identify a single user who has logged in, or using other factors to paint a picture of a holistic view, and really with the aim of bringing measurement back to how TV buyers measurement. So how many people did we reach? How many times did they see the ad? And, you know, was it delivered to somebody in our target demographic?
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, cross-media measurement is also something very close to our hearts, and something that we will be, the IAB, looking at later this year. So that's good to hear. Ben, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate the time and the enlightenment. And it's been good having you. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me.
The IAB's Simplify and Inspire podcast. For more information, visit iabaustralia.com.au.